You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Cardi. How you doing, man?
Man, I am feeling good. Blessed. It is negative 7 degrees outside, so I dressed warm for today. How about you, Earl?
Hey, man. it's a blessing that I'm not outside.
Hey, I feel you on that.
You know.
Well, I think it's a blessing if the heating system is working in your house. Just think of the poor people who woke up this morning and found out that their heat was off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, by the way, that's none other than my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I am. I'm inside, and the heating system is working, so it's all good.
You know, I asked you about, off the air about the ice rink. You got to be excited. Last year was too warm for the ice rink, but not now.
No, this year's been great. I've had a bunch of kids skating on it, but minus 8, nobody's volunteering to go out and ice skate today.
Well, you know, listen, we've got so much to talk about. I kind of want to begin with an edict that came down, Judge Borowski, in Milwaukee. Milwaukee Public Schools has been mandated by the state legislature to put SRO officers in the buildings, and 25 of them. And so, you know, the state legislature demanded that they put these SRO officers in the buildings.
And that's because these state legislatures have all spent so much time in the Milwaukee public schools that they know just what the formula is, right?
You know, Sandy, it is more than frustrating. I spent 12 years volunteering in Milwaukee public schools, and I was in the buildings when they had SRO officers. And the SRO officers, for the most part, nice guys, but they would say themselves, there's really no reason for us to be here. I mean, this is just the truth. I would not fabricate this. But, you know, there's safeties in the buildings whose responsibility it is if there are fights or things like that. The police aren't getting engaged or involved in students having disagreements or fights or those kind of things, unless it's something massive, which happens so rare. And so, you know, so you've got these officers who are sitting around, Sandy, in the buildings, twiddling their thumbs. And they could be better utilized out in the street where, you know, there's so many issues and so many problems in our community, and yet nobody talks about that because the people at state legislature who made these mandates did it basically, you know, for no other reason that they could.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would call it fiddling with, you know, they find it convenient to fiddle with the Milwaukee public school system. And they're dilettantes. It's not like they're trained educators or like they actually have firsthand experience with what's going on in the Milwaukee public schools. You know, we have a concept under the state constitution called local rule, in which the state legislature is supposed to sort of stay out of matters to the extent possible so that the localities with their firsthand experience can manage themselves. And yet we do find the legislature kind of intervening at its pleasure to play with, particularly the Milwaukee public system. They don't tend to do this with Oconto Falls or any of the other school districts around the state. But, yeah, it's, and the un- One of the things that's different about states and the and court orders in states is that states do have mechanisms for enforcing their court orders. They have sheriffs, and the sheriffs are actually responsive to the courts, and it's different at the federal level. So when we have Donald Trump thumbing his nose at the law, we don't really have a process for enforcing that law against him. But that wouldn't be the case necessarily with the Milwaukee Public Schools.
Sandy, Mark says in a text, MPD receives 3,700 dispatch calls each school year on average between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. related to Milwaukee Public Schools addresses the Journal Sentinel found after reviewing September 2013 to July 2024 data. But I will say this to you, Mark, again, as somebody who spent 12 years in Milwaukee Public Schools and was there when there were those SRO officers, I don't know if you're aware, there's 156 schools, buildings in Milwaukee Public Schools. You're demanding 25 SRO officers who are going to cover 156 schools. It's kind of an insane proposition to think, because some of those MRO officers were not moving, Sandy, from building to building. They were in specific buildings, and that's where they were for that entire day. And so, it's kind of trying to, have a flea take on an elephant. You can't do it. And so this process or this thought that we're going to fix Milwaukee Public Schools, I'll say this to Mark and others who fail to understand. I'm not saying it can't happen, but Mark, there haven't been any shootings in the buildings in Milwaukee Public Schools. When people think that a police officer in a building is going to stop somebody from who decides that they're going to shoot up buildings, Sandy, we've seen this far too many times. It's not something that is that you can foresee, right? I mean, you can't tell if somebody's going to decide to come into a building and shoot up the place. And so if there's fortunate enough to have a SRO officer in the building where it happens, God bless him. But the
Well,
chances of
this
that happening is rare.
the person texting this is speculating about why it is that maybe this is to keep the heat off the Milwaukee Police Department.
Yeah.
I'm not aware that this was done at the initiative of the Milwaukee Police Department
No,
or
they
it was
didn't
done
want
at
it.
their. They didn't want it. So I mean, everyone wants to speculate and come up with a revisionist theory as to why this might have been a good idea for legislators outside of Milwaukee to decide how the police and the Milwaukee public school system ought to cooperate and complement one another in terms of how they conduct themselves. But this is silliness, I think, in that it's a wrong focus for a state legislature. If they want to help the Milwaukee public school district, they could find plenty of better ways to do that. One of them would be with funding.
Sandy, the judge was talking about contempt. How do you enforce the who do you Milwaukee Public Schools and the city, because they both were debating on who's going to pay for this, how would they enforce a contempt rule against a district or a city?
Well, you can only enforce against people, right? So the contempt act, the contempt would be punished by putting somebody in jail,
Oh,
some official
the
in jail, or
superintendent.
threatening them with being jailed, or with some other kind of financial response, penalties, financial penalties for days of contempt.
And I was watching Judge Borowski, and he was really getting testy. And listen, I'm not opposed to any of those things. The law was created, and created by people who just could do it, and that's why they made the decision to do it. Tony says, I remember a fair amount of coverage of SRO officers not doing anything during school shootings in Florida and Texas. I mean, we got to stop believing that because you have SRO officers in the building, Sandy, they're gonna fix what the problems are. You know, so these 25 police officers, and I have to say the ones that I knew, and they've got to be trained, and right now none of them are trained, Sandy, from what I was reading in the article. It takes a while to train them, and yet the judge said they've got 9 days. If they don't get this together in 9 days, I guess there's going to be hell to pay. Well, they don't have anybody in the hopper to be trained, Sandy, so, you know.
Well, I think toying, having a state legislature toy with the Milwaukee public school system this way and with the police department in Milwaukee is symptomatic of what's going on, which is at the national level as well. Politicians who have contempt for the knowledge and expertise of the people who are actually operatives in government. In fact, contempt would be the main word I think they have, and they believe that they, with their inexperience, are fully capable of calling the shots and making decisions that ought to be made based on expertise and training. And so it when you look at it on the local level, you can see exactly how this plays out and how it might be foolish. But when it's happening on the federal level, it's going to have its ramifications all over to all of us locally. But there is clearly ongoing in Washington right now a great deal of contempt on the part of politicians for people who operate in government, people who have the expertise to be long-term professional employees in government. And they're all being treated as if they're part of a herd that can be simply called. You know, it doesn't matter who you fire. It doesn't matter who you lay off. It doesn't matter. These people don't matter.
Well, you know, Sandy, we're going to get into a lot of that conversation this morning about the impact of these decisions that have been made or that are being made on the fly. Sandy, decisions that are going to impact and affect the American people. I was saying to you earlier, and we're going to get into this, just how frustrated and angry I am as we watch more and more of this government being taken over.
Yeah.
And the fact
that people say all politics is local, well, you know what? The effect of politics is local. And the way we're going to experience a recession, the way we're going to experience inflation, the way we're going to experience the loss of regulation through OSHA and safety regulations and environmental regulations, all of that rubber hits the road locally, okay? So it turns out all politics is local.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And we're going to talk about how this affects you, all this affects you locally on The Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
At 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, we're going to get right into it. But before we get there, I want to, and where we're going is we talked a little bit about it before we went to break. the impact of all these things that are being, you know, planned by Donald Trump and Republicans, and the impact it's going to have on the average person. You know, over 10,000 layoffs thus far, Sandy, not counting the people who've been forced to retire or people who've been terminated. And these are some of the agencies, Sandy, you know, the CDC, the EPA, the IRS. We're not talking about, Sandy, groups and organizations, I mean governmental bodies, that serve no purpose whatsoever. These are governmental bodies that impact and affect every American in their daily lives.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, that there's been this discussion about bloat in the federal government on the part of the right and the people who are looking now at taking a meat axe to the government, and they're behaving and talking as if all of the government is bloated, that all of the workers fall into the same category of fat, and that it doesn't matter where they swing this meat axe, they'll only be cutting fat. There won't be any muscle or bone involved. But the fact is that the FAA, the FDA, the OSHA, SEC, FEMA, Medicare, Social Security, most of the people who work in the federal government work for agencies that are there to protect us or to provide us with services. And many of these services require expertise. You know, the EPA's processes of investigating the environment and testing to find out whether things are safe, the FDA, all of that involves a great deal of expertise. They secured 40,000 retirements through this so-called voluntary retirement plan. They've laid off 10,000, talking about laying off hundreds of thousands. First of all, what's been happening to date is absorbable, or would have been absorbable. Normally, apparently, we have about 100,000 people who leave the federal government each year, and they leave voluntarily. They resign. They go off to do something else. But so the numbers, you know, that Elon Musk and the president want to beat their breast about, that they forced out, are really just like the blink of an eye in terms of numbers, and they relate to the numbers that have been leaving the federal government regularly. But what they're proposing to do is to essentially promote people leaving. So this buyout arrangement they had probably promoted a lot of people to leave federal government who were working very hard, who were burnt out, who saw it as an opportunity to leave. What they're doing with the federal government is they're tampering with it, they're experimenting with it, they're experimenting with a bunch of things that actually have a great deal of local impact.
You know, Sandy, you talked about, you know, hundreds of thousands of governmental workers who retire, but a system that allowed them to retire without, you know, upending the system, you know, and it was balanced. When people retired, they had in incrementally that they could replace people and not miss a beat. To unilaterally force people to retire across the board throws all that out of kilter. Is it safe to say that, Sandy?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you look at things that are going to affect us locally, if they start cutting Medicaid dollars, that's all a local impact. That has to do with who can receive medical attention and who will get reimbursed for providing it. The grant dollars they're cutting, and they've already done this, is going to have a huge impact on places like the University of Wisconsin, who are very reliant for a great deal of what they do on the grant money that they attract and the primary research that is funded by it. We're going to lose farm and construction workers with this attack on
immigration.
And the inflation that's going to result from the tariffs that they're implementing is going to be affected. That's where that's experienced at the grocery store. That's about as local as you can get at the appliance store. When you have to replace your washing machine or your television, that's where this tariff is going to be affected. When the supply chains get disrupted, which they are already in the process of being, everything will go into shortage. And that will cause the same effect that it did at the end of the pandemic, which is inflation. When automobiles go up in price, Where do you experience that? You experience that locally when you go to the car dealer. So, you know, people can talk about and maybe lean back and say, well, we don't have to worry about this. This is all national. Oh, the rubber hits the road down the block.
You know, Sandy, people, the grocery store, which was one of the things that was talked about more than anything else during the presidential election. And it's gotten worse. I talk to people who go to the grocery store, Sandy, the very thing that they condemn Joe Biden and the Democrats for, the prices have gone up in the grocery stores.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet they're not attempting to do anything to mitigate that, Sandy. There's no policy I've heard from Donald Trump or any of his minions to address that.
Well, they've not announced any policy that has any impact whatsoever on the problems of Tom, Dick, and Mary. You know, we've got a president who, a couple of days ago, quoted Napoleon Bonaparte. I don't know how many presidents think Napoleon Bonaparte is a good person to quote.
Sandy, hold that thought, because I want you to make sure you give that thought on the other side where people can hear it. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. We're going to talk about a lot of things this morning on the Earl Ingram Show.
We see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who need it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep on waiting, yeah. Waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting, yeah. Waiting on the world to change. It's hard to beat the
Sandy,
system.
You must have been reading my mind this morning.
At a distance, so we keep on waiting.
All right, 855-752-4842. You can text us that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Sandy, that music.
Well, you know, I was thinking about how everything that's going on ultimately is local and how it affects us locally and how we can feel helpless in the face of national things that are going to have impacts on us locally. So I look for music that might suggest those issues, and this stuff, that one was Taj Mahal and Keb Mo, but that's what the music's about.
You know, Sandy, before we go to the phone lines, there isn't going to be a Calvary that's going to come and save us. People are waiting for something to happen to change the trajectory of where we're headed right now. And it's so early in this presidency. But there isn't going to be a Calvary that comes to save us.
Well, the problem is, and what I was going to say before the break was that this president a couple of days ago, quoting Napoleon Bonaparte, put out tweets, and he did it quite aggressively. He put it out both on Truth Social and on Twitter, because he clearly means this and wants the audience to understand it. He said, he who saves his country breaks no law. And so what he's basically saying is, as far as he's concerned, the end justifies the means, and that anything he does in pursuit of that end is above the law and cannot be impeded by the law. And so, you know, Elon Musk has talked the same way. He's talked about impeaching judges that might issue stay orders against the activity of Doge, where the court might view that it exceeds the constitutional powers of the government or breaks the law. And their reaction to that is, well, then we have to get rid of the judges. You know, we have to take action to make sure that we can operate, because because we have a the claim is that they have an imperial mandate that runs to the presidency and allows the presidency to do whatever in order to achieve ends that would be defined apparently by the president. And it's a frightening prospect. It is the definition of authoritarianism. And my surprise is that the MAGA part of the Republican Party seems to be embracing authoritarianism as a form of government that they want to pursue, in spite of the fact that these are the same people who keep reciting the Constitution as being something they want to protect, when this is a direct assault on the Constitution.
855-752-4842 is the number. Let's go to Brendan. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Listen, this is a class war, pure and simple. Okay, not only have we gone into an authoritarian government, we have oligarchs that are basically calling the shots. Donald Trump isn't smart enough to pull any of this off. He's just the carnival barker out in front of all these knuckleheads who have all this money and are going to run our government. And folks like Mark here from Wisconsin, who's on the chat, you guys should join the chat, it's interesting, are so happy that they're going through the government, yet the Doge page that's on the government site doesn't have a thing on it yet. And they're all gullible enough to believe that what they're doing is they're trying to cut waste and get rid of ridiculous spending. No, all they're doing is they're firing people. They fired people from the National Nuclear Security Administration on Friday, realized what a bonehead move they made, and then had to beg them all to come back. And I know this for a fact because my daughter has a friend that works there. So, yeah, good job, guys. Good job. And all the MAGA folks and all the Republicans that think this is a good thing, well, guess what? Your come-ups are coming. And have you heard him mention anything about Kentucky? And Georgia? He just burned Georgia when they were they took the money that Georgia was getting for the storms they had. So good job, you guys. Keep it up. Can't wait to see more.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you talked about MAGA. And so the average MAGA guy like Mark, who's Texan, who, you know, he's harmless. He doesn't understand.
I think Mark's an attorney. I think he's a sophisticated person. I just think that a bunch of people need to sit back and think about the long-term ramifications of what's going on nationally. And instead of believing that it's simply going to solve the problem that they have, they should understand that the Trump that was elected by less than a majority of people. And he was elected based on the things that were talked about during the campaign. And so, you know, the premise of Project 2025 is that the president is elected by the people, and therefore he is the populist manifestation of the people, and he can do the people's bidding. But what's going on now is not the people's bidding. I mean, what we've got is these oligarchs, simply oligarchs, getting the government out of their own way. What they are busily doing is trying to take government and get it out of the way of the wealthy and the powerful, the corporate interests and the private interests for whom government operates and regulates. They're trying to get rid of those nasty, pesky, annoying regulations. And so the conduct now is not designed to help Tom, Dick, and Mary. In fact, Tom, Dick, and Mary are being warned that there's going to be some pain here, folks, and you're going to have to bear with this pain until we get what we want. Well, I'm not sure what they want. You know, the end game here isn't very clear, but the near-term game is very clear, and that is getting government out of the way.
So, Sandy, to tell Tom, Dick, and Mary that there's going to be some pain after Tom, Dick, and Mary said that the reason we don't want Joe Biden back and the Democrats back is because of the pain that we've been experiencing. And so I don't understand how Tom, Dick, and Mary, after saying the Democrats caused them all this pain, are going to somehow accept even more pain than what they said they felt under Joe Biden and the Democrats. Clearly, the different things that they're going after, Sandy, Medicare and all those things, far outstripe whatever pain it was they were saying that they got from Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Well, absolutely. And what surprises me is that the number of people who are biting on this concept that the people who work for the government, this deep state, are a bunch of bureaucrats who are operating independently from the law and are basically subjugating the American public to a power that was not elected. Here's what bureaucrats do in government. They implement the law. These are the people who carry out the laws that are passed by Congress. Congress passes laws, but they need to be implemented. Well, who implements the laws? Not the elected officials. No, it's the people who get hired by the government to use their expertise to carry out what is the law. And so this assault on the bureaucrats is actually a direct assault on the people who carry out the laws, who implement the laws. It's, these people are not lawless. They are the law. And yes, they have to be, their feet have to be held to the fire to make sure that the things they do are within the law, okay? And that's what lawyers do. You know, every time a regulation gets implemented against a corporation, the corporation has the opportunity to go to court and contest whether that law was properly implemented. Every time an agency issues a regulation, the regulation must get promulgated through a process that includes the potential for it to be tested in court. And most regulations are tested in court. And so what we've got is a direct assault on the people who carry out the law, and furthermore, a direct compromising of the people who enforce the law. So we've got the U.S. Attorney's offices. Look at the one in New York, the U.S. Attorney for the District of New York, who's being totally compromised politically to operate as a political lapdog for the president, a political attack dog for the president. And that there's a U.S. Attorney local in every jurisdiction around the country. And so in Wisconsin, we have numerous U.S. attorneys who will now be politically responsive to the president instead of implementing the law on a straightforward and even-handed basis.
You know, Sandy, we're in an arena now where the average citizen doesn't comprehend the legalese of what is transpiring that's going to impact them, so swiftly. They can't prepare for it. And then at the same time that all these things are going on, Sandy, they're cutting away the safety nets. And I don't know what could be more cruel than that, Sandy. They know they're cutting away the safety nets. And they don't care whatsoever about it. Medicare, as you already know.
Well, Medicaid.
Yeah, Medicaid. Medicaid. Children and the elderly. Okay, yeah, well, and the disabled.
The Medicaid is basically children and disabled and the poor. And to attack funding for that. And then puts both the providers of the healthcare at risk. How does Aurora Hospital or any others get reimbursed for providing the care for these people? Number one, or do they turn their backs on those people? They can't, as a matter of law. And so this is just government ducking its responsibilities. We can have another show about this, but I can demonstrate how healthcare for all is something that is that because we are not providing it. Is implementing the way it's now being implemented through Medicaid and Medicare is very destructive socially and is creating all kinds of pressures that are destructive socially to our country. And it's many of the things that conservatives are upset about. And if they step back a bit, they'd realize. But in any case, we've got things going on that if they happened singularly would be consuming the press. This Eric Adams situation in New York, calling off the prosecutorial dogs, but not throwing the case out, simply saying they're suspending the prosecution and saying at the same breath that it's a very strong case, but we're suspending it because this guy needs to be there to help us implement our immigration policies, is to put this mayor of New York on a leash such that he is now at heel to the president of the United States. It's a completely corrupt kind of a concept, so corrupt that numbers of U.S. attorneys resigned rather than back off on the prosecution. And now four of the assistant mayors have resigned as well.
Yeah, well, Sandy, so right before our eyes, we're watching all of this crumble. And it gets worse every day. And I wonder sometimes, again, you know, when we talk about MAGA, we talk about the rank and file MAGA members, Sandy, but I'm talking about the congressional MAGA people who should know better. Sandy, they know that this is going to impact and affect their constituents. Why are they not fighting for their constituents?
Well, I mean, one of the problems is that there is a limit to what Congress can do to get in the way of the president. Congress is there to pass laws and to rescind laws and to amend laws. And the president is now operating in the range of the imperial power of the presidency and trying to expand it to beyond the edge of the envelope and is doing so as we speak. But these people in Congress should be standing up and at least showing their backbone and demonstrating that they aren't in line with the president, and his conduct will cause him to lose the support of Congress, which he needs when he decides to propose policies that do require congressional action.
You know, Sandy, I'm just really amazed at how you use imperial power for the president of the United States. It's flowing now from you, and that's an amazing thing. Hang on, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my call. Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You could text us at that same number. Our conversation is really about a lot of different things. But, Sandy, as I said earlier, there is no cavalry coming. We're waiting for maybe some miracle to happen. But I don't foresee a miracle coming. We're going to have to get through. You keep using the term imperial and president as if they're one and the same. Have we gotten to that point now, Sandy? Sandy, can't hear you. We can't hear you.
In Project 2025 is to create as to go to the extent possible of having an imperial president, one who has all of the power vested in him and shifts the power, the balance of power dramatically in the direction of the executive. And it's a very dangerous concept, but it's one that's being pursued full stop by MAGA and by the policies being implemented right now. And it is very hard to stop. The only thing that can get in the way of the effort of the president to expand the power in the direction of having an imperial presidency are the courts. And, you know, the courts have this problem in that they don't have a method for enforcing their orders. If the court has the backbone to stand up to this president, and if the Supreme Court decides to constrain his conduct, they still have to order him to stop, and he has to abide by it. And he might not. He's already talking about that. And this quote from Napoleon Bonaparte suggests that he fully intends not to, that but he is above the law and the law as defined by the courts.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, let's not forget, like Sandy said about the Congress. Look, the Congress okayed, the Republican mega Congress okayed all of the different people in all of the different offices, whether it's Pete Hegseth, whether it is any of the different people. Congress did have an opportunity to stop this in its tracks. Let's not forget what it is that they did. Number two, MAGAs, Republicans, I appeal to you. I tell you, you won. You won. You won everything. You made us live. You owned us, the whole thing. Could you please do us a favor? We, the American people, are we going to have to go through the school of hard knocks and go back to the Great Depression times, which hurts all of us? Or are we going to stop this bleeding right now? Honestly, I really don't know. If people can't pick up a history book and see what happened 100 years ago, except for we have our own Adolf Hitler probably right here in the United States, of what is going on. Don't look at today's world. Look at 100 years ago, because it's just basically history repeating itself. And do we really have to go through the Great Depression, bread lines, poor of poor, uber wealthy versus the poor, and us middle class become the poor? Do we really have to live this experiment again? Or could you please just join us, get out into the streets with us, and actually make it so we actually get our democracy back by also getting money out of politics? Let's have a revolution. Let's have a peaceful revolution. But let's get this. Let's not do it through the school of hard knocks. Let's do it through what we learned from history so we don't repeat it.
Hey, Tom. Very well said. Thank you very much for those heartfelt words. And Sandy, that's kind of how I'm feeling. The more I hear and the more I see what's taking place, you know, if it can be stopped. And, you know, I think Trump and those people around him are getting stronger. And, well, and their footprint, Sandy, is not just America. It's no, the world.
No, that's what's terrifying to me is that they believe that they have a movement that they're responsible for. And you watch our vice president go to Europe and scold Europe for not allowing the right wing to take control in Germany, for instance, not to have a seat at the table in Germany where the right wing brought that country to devastation some while ago. And here we are running around the world scolding them, telling them how government ought to operate. It's a terrifying thing. And I agree with Tom that the problem I foresee is that what the MAGAs are doing are fixing what really isn't broken, okay, trying to fix it. They're breaking it. And the outcome of what they're doing, a massive tariff regime, on top of the other policies they're adopting, has the potential to create a very dangerous deep stagflation kind of recession that will hurt everybody.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
And the boys go into business and marry and raise a family in box. Made of ticky-tacky, and they all look just the same.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.